Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome, everyone, to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live this week from Mishawaka, Indiana, as we do on each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show lined up for you guys today. We have my co-host and friend, Linda Feinholz, the founder of Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda is calling in live this week from wonderful Los Angeles, California. Hello,
hi,
Linda.
Hi, Gina. I love it when you go on road trips.
I can't wait to be home next week.
How many more miles do you have to go?
Oh, we're still in Mishawaka. We're leaving tonight about 9:30, 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Tonight we get to Louisville. Tomorrow night we get to Knoxville. Thursday and Friday we will be in Knoxville with my wonderful assistant, Shelby Carr. Then Saturday after the DU Bachelor's call, we will be leaving for Atlanta, driving most of the day to Atlanta. We will be there Saturday night and Sunday. We will leave there Monday while I am on call for the rest of the trip home.
I love it. Well, I'm just going to stay sitting on my couch.
Love it.
I am so excited about today's show. You and I have talked about this offline, but I want to share with our listeners just how much today's guest means in my life and why I was so passionate about getting him on to talk with us this week. When I was 12 years old, I made a decision that I didn't understand the repercussions of, and it played out in my life for decades. I distinctly remember standing on the street corner in my hometown on a gorgeous day, looking across the intersection and seeing a gentleman wearing a long-sleeve white T-shirt. And down one sleeve of that T-shirt in red script were the words Coca-Cola. And I distinctly remember looking at that and saying, clear as a bell in my head, why would I pay for the privilege of doing their marketing? And in that moment, some switch flipped in my head where anything that appeared to be marketing, any language people were using that felt like marketing to me, I became like Teflon and just shunted it away. And then I went on, you know, through my school years and, you know, through university and into consulting and into a very intellectual career. And it was only years later when I started doing independent consulting and started networking and building relationships with people that I realized I literally was missing normal everyday language and conversation for building relationships, creating connections, helping people reach decisions and move into action. In the past 5 years, I have spent tens of thousands of dollars trying to learn from the leading, quote, gurus, the very information that our guest today made so simple that within days I've started using it. John Benson is the consummate master at taking what people traditionally think of as copywriting, as language, and in the past several years, he's become the creator of what's called the video sales letter, which is a method of marketing online, what's generated $10 billion of revenue since 2009. He's the creator of a specific formula that, as I was listening to this formula, not only was I thinking about it for the impact for me, I have clients who are attorneys. I was thinking about how they can craft what they say standing in front of a jury, how those of us who want to put out newsletters can think about how we're using language to create relationships and so on. And frankly, I could go on, but I'd rather bring John into the conversation. So, John, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. That was a fantastic introduction. I hope I can follow up on that.
Oh, I know you can. And I would love for our listeners to understand that you didn't come down your mother's birth canal doing copywriting. So how did you get to become someone who really mastered the use of language for creating connection and relationship?
Well, C-sections help, I think, but I did not start off to even be a copywriter. And I tell this story on my website. I think some people think it's just marketing speak, you know, the dreaded, you know, I used to live in a wet rolled up newspaper on the side of the sidewalk, and now I'm a multi-trillionaire, and neither of those are true, but what is true is I didn't set out to be a copywriter at all. In fact, my first product was launched and became the biggest fitness product at that time in ClickBank history, which was quite a while ago, almost 10 years. And I didn't write a stitch of the copy, not one word of an email, nothing. I just wrote the book, and I got very, very, very lucky. So I tell people they have an option. If you want, you can just start blogging, which we were doing at the time before WordPress was around. We were just literally putting up HTML pages and hope that a world-famous author online who happens to have a number one best-selling ebook finds you, likes you a lot, and says, I'll do it all for half the royalties. Which is what happened with me, and that's one way to solve your copywriting problems. Assuming you can keep that going for the rest of your life, or you can learn it yourself. So after the first launch of that book, I determined, you know, if I can write a book, I think I can learn how to write this copy. It's a totally different world, and I remember seeing the 6,000 page sales letter, thinking, first of all, I'd like to meet this guy. I don't know who this guy is that they're talking about, because it didn't feel like me, and. Second of all, who's going to read 6,000 words? I remember that was the first question I asked my partner, then Tom. Who's going to read this? I mean, you know, so it turns to find out that a lot of people read that. And, you know, the same thing goes for video sales letters. People ask, you know, who's going to listen to a 40-minute, you know, PowerPoint presentation with nothing but words? A lot of people. And it turns to find out, and now we know why. But so, yes, that's how I got started. I got started by seeing the success I had from my first product by working with a professional copywriter who took half the royalties, which was a bargain. You know, he tells me today, man, I never would have done that now, you know, and I never would do it either. So you can either do that or you can master it yourself. So that's when I became passionate about how cool copywriting was. It was just fun to write. And then I started reading a lot of books on it and digging into a lot of older copywriting styles, direct mail, Gary Benzavenga, John Carlton, Brian Kurtz, you know, of course, the late Gary Halbert. And so many other people that that I've ended up working with over the years, which is fantastic. So that's how I got started.
So when you are teaching now, who are you predominantly attracting? Is it people who are knowingly entrepreneurs, knowingly internet information marketers, info marketers?
I'm going to say this tongue-in-cheek, depressingly so. And the reason why I say depressingly so is because I wanted to create a formula that teaches people how to create a product while at the same time teaches them the overall arching, the grand arch concept of copywriting. So rather than just create a copywriting product, which I think is you know, a very difficult thing to do, I wanted to create a copywriting product that also said, okay, we're going to take what we learned, and you're going to put this on this slide, and here's 9 samples of copy that you can use and modify to your own liking for every single slide, which obviously took a long, long time to do. It took 2 years to build this out. But the VSL is only one application of it. So when I say depressingly so, what I mean is exactly what you said earlier. Lawyers could be using this and never create a video sales letter. Words are words. And once you understand the power of words to influence, the power of words to sell and unsell, I mean, power, that's the strength of words. Words can both persuade and dissuade someone from buying your product, and you don't even know how you're dissuading them. So I think anyone who sells anything, period, could use a course like this. It just so happens to me that the final product also gives them a video sales letter, which most businesses can use as well.
Yeah, very cool. You know, Gene and I have talked about language much over the past months. We interviewed Barry Nicholson, who's a copywriter in has been very well known over the years, working with Dan Kennedy and so on. And one of the things he shared was a resource that has, I will say, frankly, transformed my world, transformed Gina's world. I know we're both teaching it continuously to our folks, which is the book called Great Leads by Michael Masterson. And in that book, he talks about you must start your relationship building where your audience, your prospective client or customer is in their level of awareness. And he talks very specifically about the five levels of awareness, from completely unaware to problem aware. The next level is solution aware, and after that is product aware. And so the most aware is the person who's already decided what the problem is they have. They've already gone looking at various solutions and decided which one they want. Now all they're doing is looking for the best deal on it. And yet so many people, myself included, thought that the goal was to paint the rosiest picture from, you know, the most aware level, only you're often talking so far beyond where somebody is, and you make that point also in your training videos, and I really love the way that you approached explaining that to people.
Yes, and I think Masterson's right on the money. That's when I'm talking about in – I use the phrase modality marketing, and I'm not sure if I coined it. I know that I'm the first person I know that used it, but you never know. Somebody may have used that somewhere else, but the way I break out modalities is in not just sensory modalities like sight, touch, feel. I also break them into learning modalities, and that's what Masterson is talking about. And the different people are at different places in their life, and we've broken those modalities into four. If this is going to help people, let me know. I think it will. Into four modalities of learning, which is there's the people who want to avoid something. There's the people that are looking to enjoy something, the people that just want to know how to do something, and then there's the what-ifs. And the what-ifs of the world already know they want the product. They just want to know, what if I was to do this instead? Is this still going to work? I mean, these are the post-conventional thinkers when it comes down to products. So, but most people, and this is the thing that I underscore in the product where I teach this course, is most people approach exactly what you were saying, approach the product with, people already know they want this. And we break it down into such utter simplicity that sometimes I laugh at my own copy. I mean, like, even in this particular, in when we launched Rx, we did so with, first of all, what is sales copy? It's the first question I ask. Okay, it's the first question I ask in the video. It's like, what is sales copy? As if someone doesn't know. Well, believe it or not, I mean, that was my wife's call. She's really savvy at this stuff. She said, you know, you ought to define sales copy. And I kind of looked at her like, really? I said, yeah. I mean, go back to that whole you're not even aware that you have a problem thing. And it's so true. I mean, there are so many people out there that do not know what effective sales copy means. What does it mean to have sales copy? Why do you need it? And then you get into the problem that they have. They have sales copy, but it's really horrible. Or they're not getting the conversions they want. Or they're not making enough money online. And almost always that mindset, because they're in a problem-based mindset, what appeals to them is, first of all, to exaggerate the problem. And then you give them a solution. But the exaggeration of the problem is something that is I haven't heard it talked about before, and so there's some unique elements in this course that I haven't heard before. Like I said, it may be out there. I haven't studied every book on copywriting, obviously, but the exaggeration of the problem is huge, because most people know that they have a problem. I mean, do you mind if I use an example here?
Oh, like, please.
Let's take weight loss, since fitness is my background, and that's actually where I spend most of my time outside of teaching marketing and video sales letters is in fitness. And most people who are overweight or who are just not fit or have just got a bad news from their doctor know that they have a problem. They're very well aware of it. As someone who is in those shoes, I can guarantee you that you know you have a problem and you do nothing about it, or you say, yeah, it's a problem I'm going to get to one day. And this is true for just about every single product or service there is. And so what I do is take that problem, and I don't exaggerate it in the terms of lying about it. I would never do that. I merely take it to its logical conclusion. So I will take someone from a position, for example, of I know that you want to lose weight. You want to look good for the bikini summer. You want to look good for the swimsuit summer. You want to look better when you play football with your kids, whatever it may be. But have you ever thought about this? And I will exaggerate it out further and further to the point where it gets to, And this is actually making you a bad parent. So, I mean, I will take it all the way to that conclusion. This is robbing you years of your life, and you're not going to see your grandkids. I mean, now I'm giving examples here off the top of my head, but the point is that when people realize the severity of a problem, they tend to take action on it much, much, much faster. So that's your job as a copywriter, someone that's got a product that is good. Now, I caveat everything with this, that I hope your product is good. If it isn't good, then go away. Get a good product. But if it's a good product and it really helps people, then you owe it to your readers to impact upon them the need to move now, because problems creep up, man, and they creep up very fast.
Right, and, so, you know, we live in a funny society right now where there's a portion of our society that says anybody who's trying to sell you something must be trying to cheat you, or they must be sleazy, or they must be whatever, and then they walk into the grocery store where they're surrounded by imagery and language and positioning on shelves and everything else, and you know, maybe acknowledge with a little nod that, yeah, I'm being marketed to, but the reality is nearly every communication is a communication where we're trying to connect with a person, trying to build some form of relationship, trying to convince them that our thought, our idea, our solution is of service to them.
Exactly. Exactly. As I love what Joe Polish says, and I don't know if he's quoting someone else or not, but he often says, people love to buy things, they just hate to be sold.
Yeah.
And so what I like to do is I know that people love to buy things, and anyone that says, oh, I just hate salesmen, needs to take a look around at their office, at their home, at everything they have in their life was sold to them, with the possible exception of their spouse, you know, and children. I mean, just about everything that you have possession-wise was sold to you by somebody, or you built it yourself, and even then you had to buy the raw material. So it's not buying that people have a problem with. It's the concept of being sold. So I turn that around and say, I'm not going to try to sell someone on something. I'm going to try to clearly illustrate to you why this is a huge problem in your life and how much better your life will be in that future pace them. So which I literally put them into a state where they are in that better life once you take action on this. And then I leave it up to them. I said, look, you have a choice. You can go find another product that deals with this. You can go hope that you can take what you've learned and just go apply it on your own. Or you can just take this blueprint that I've created for you. Makes it a lot easier. And so that's really how I look at products in general, because that's how they are for me. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know about you ladies, but I do, Linda, from our previous conversation. But you guys invested a lot of money in your own training in various levels of marketing, whether it's you know, copywriting or web development or SEO or whatever it may be. So marketers, business people know that they have to invest in their business. And what, in my case, a lot of business people do not know is that the lifeblood of their business, the oxygen that their customers breathe, is the words that they have on screen or on paper. That's it. That's the only way they can communicate with you. They may know they want your product, but why should they choose your product over XYZ? This is all based around words, and it's the most dynamic way to increase your business, certainly the fastest. I mean, if you have an online presence right now, I can give you stats that will just completely blow your mind. I mean, just the change of a headline has shown to increase 500% traffic to the website, not just conversions, but traffic. Simply because it's more searchable. The term is more searchable, and it ends up 500% higher in traffic. So imagine what people are wanting traffic all the time, right? I mean, they're always saying, how can I get more traffic to my website? First of all, if you don't have a high converting website, why do you need more traffic? It's not, you're just going to get more of the same results. I mean, and second of all, even if you had an average converting website, wouldn't you want a killer website for that more traffic? And then third of all, the copy is what's going to help drive the traffic. So
right, and the copy itself gets used in many, many, many different arenas. You know, today is a perfect example. In order to let folks know that you were guesting with us on the show, I was doing publicity for it on many different forums, and I was trying to identify what's a good headline, subject line to use that would make people stop, look at what came after the headline, and say, yeah, I want to spend an hour learning that or hearing that and clicking forward. So whether we're talking about it in the forum of the social media world or through an email or, as you said, the headlines of blog posts and everything else, which are now what these giant search engines are using to decide what information to direct people towards when they're doing searching, it's all the same element.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all dealing with words. And, you know, in one study I just shared with Evan Pagan. Evan, most people know, is a fantastic marketer and has some awesome products, is the fact that they recently did a split test on changing one to two words in a button and what the CTR difference, click-through rate difference, was. And it went up as high as 161%.
Holy
cow.
Wow.
One word.
Tina,
yeah.
Come on aboard.
Yeah.
What were those words?
Yeah. So people often say, oh, I've tried this, I've tried the video sales letter thing, and I can't get it to convert cold traffic. And they keep forgetting that, well, what about your ads? Well, do your ads, are they terrible? I mean, you know, it's like if you put up a terrible ad, then you're not going to get a whole lot of traffic to convert, you know. And then, you know, the whole thing goes down to it's trial and error. You have to put in the trial. I mean, the best guys in the world at this stuff are – which are fortunately on, you know, my speed dial, because, I mean, these guys are all pals of mine. I know how much they test stuff, and these guys are monster copywriters. And they'll go through 5-10 different iterations of a video sales letter or a sales page or whatever before they finally land on the right combination that attracts that audience.
So important what you just pointed out, yeah, right there, because I think – there's so many of us, you know, we come through this scholastic system where you're supposed to instantly put your hand up and have the right answer, you know, on call. And the fact is, when we enter into this arena of relationship building and marketing to help people move towards decisions and actions, the fact is we don't know right off the bat what the right language combination is, what the right color on a page is, what the right positioning of something is, because we're learning how our buyer is going to react. We don't know what exactly is going to move them forward. So as you said, the massive famous people are testing. John Carlton doesn't hop out of bed and say, I know exactly how I'm going to word this and I'm done and walk away.
Well, John Carlton rarely gets out of bed these days. But
yeah.
You know, all that playing music, you know, he's a guitar player, so no telling where he's at tonight. But John's awesome. He's a good friend of mine. And the thing is occasionally you'll get spoiled to it. Like I've knocked a few of the sales letters I've written out of the park the very first iteration. And so the client will come back and assume that you can just keep doing that. And what usually happens is you test five different versions of it. And if anyone out there has a video sales letter, here's a great tip for you. You need to test five versions of your first 10 slides with completely different pattern interrupts, completely different hooks. You don't know what the audience is looking for specifically. You can pull them, you can ask them, and then when you throw it out to the world, there's so much cold traffic coming your way, there's just no way to know until you test. And so to venture into the cold traffic world, you have to be willing to spend money and test it. That's just the way it works. No one's ever going to take that away from you. However, if you have the tools to write good copy, that is 90% of the battle. The rest of it is the 10% is the arduous testing and, you know, hard work that would go into any business. So if you don't want the business, which is the only way to get, in my opinion, a 7-9-figure business online is through media. You're not going to do it through, some people can do it through like SEO or non-media buying, but it's very difficult to do, especially when it comes down to an info product. But you can do it, and I know three people have nine-figure businesses from one video sales letter. Crazy. Crazy. And that's just insane. I mean, you know, one makes $200 million a year. And I mean, like, wow. I mean, so obviously you have to have the product that is capable of selling that kind of volume. And this is a, you know, make money, the world's coming to an end, you better act quick kind of thing. And the other thing is just that they tested so many iterations of ads, and you know, they just got real lucky with one of their ads, you know, that just knocked it out of the park. And then they tested iterations of sales letters. So it's trial and error. But they've managed to do that kind of revenue. And, you know, that's what's possible. So
it's important for our listeners to understand that while we're giving these examples, there's no presumption that every one of us is going to create a nine-figure income. On the other hand, I'll use Tim Ferriss and his book, The 4-Hour Work Week, as an example. he didn't know quite what would make that book catch on. He went and bought ads and kept testing titles to see what got the most clicks, and what won was the phrase, the 4-hour work week. That's how he made the decision to title that book. He didn't say, and that's a $100 million business. He had a book. He had a concept. He wanted to get it out there. He wanted to find the people who were hungry for the ideas that he was sharing, and he went out and he tested. It looks
yep.
like it's so simple and so obvious. Well, of course, that's what you'd call the book, but it isn't how it took place. And so even if I'm talking with, you know, an attorney who's making $250,000 a year who's saying to me, you know, I'd like to up it to the next level, great. Part of your upping it is the language you're using when you're networking, the language you're using in your marketing, your advertising, your web design, your newsletters, and so on, in order to create these connections and to find out which ones are the ones that make people come.
Exactly. And the same thing is true, by the way, of Tim's next book, 4-Hour Body. I wrote 7-Minute Body about 6 years before he wrote 4-Hour Body, so I haven't beat by 3 hours and 53 minutes. But nonetheless, Tim and I are friends, and he called me and 11 other of the top fitness guys online, and we all met in a room, and he said, I've got this book coming out. I can't even tell you what the title of it is. Well, I'll tell you guys. And at the time, it was like Being Superhuman, which I thought was a great title, but his manager wanted to keep everything, and his publisher wanted to keep everything in the 4-Hour brand. So, so he worked with 4-Hour Body, and he asked all of us, like, first of all, what do you do marketing wise? What works? What are people looking for? So he was doing research to that book well before he even started putting it all together. And that's just how Tim works. He's very, very, he's a fastidious guy, I guess is the way best way to put it. He's extremely specific. And I love that about him. He's just very, very driven. But it's very important to know that a lot of these guys that people look up to, like Tim, for example, I mean, Tim also writes 5,000-word blog posts, you know, and Tim, he puts a lot of effort into his business. And just if you don't mind me using an illustration here, multitasking, I realize that I have read The Myth of Multitasking, so I realize I'm switch tasking, but I switch task extremely well. So it's part of what I do. I'm like, if you know Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary's like one of my heroes, and that he answers all of his own emails, and he's like he's constantly just going and going and going. And so I will do the same thing, like especially during something like this where we're launching a product. You know, I just heard my phone just, I have it on mute, and it just beeped on the desk, and it was a client asking a question, and I literally just text him on radio show, needed to answer this. We'll text you back. But this is the kind of effort that it takes. And I think that some people believe that a video sales letter with push button capabilities like what we offer, it means that you push a button and out spits perfect copy. And there is a product like that, by the way. It's found on myfantasylandworld.com. Yeah, and it's under the hashtag dream on. It doesn't exist. Nothing like that exists. And if you're looking for something like that, you might as well be, you know, waiting for the magic weight loss pill, the magic get rich pill, the magic find the perfect love pill. It's the same mentality. And so I try to coach people away from that and saying, look, I want you to work really hard. I just made you a tool to work really, really, really smart. Okay. And to give you information that you're not going to find unless you want to read through about 100 copywriting books and test 1,000 iterations of this stuff. So that's the best that we can do as publishers of products and marketers, I think. So.
Absolutely. You know, in using the generator, which, you know, I'm going to ask you to share more information with people, but in using the generator, part of what was, I don't know what to say, what took the monkey off my back was being able to just calmly look at options for how to word things, all of them being very natural language, knowing at the same time, the only reason I'm using this device is because I don't talk that way right now. I speak 4 languages. I speak, learned, traveled the world speaking 4 languages. It happens that there's a way of shaping words that connects with people, that builds relationship, that creates attunement, that isn't one of the languages, one of the dialects that I learned, that I was trained in. My family didn't speak this way. The companies I worked in didn't speak this way. When I left those environments to do independent consulting and work with entrepreneurs and multipreneurs, I didn't speak that way. I to me, this is an amazing training device that's going to have a domino effect in a lot of arenas of my life, not merely how am I going to reshape my greeting on my podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So
I often say that we sell the way that we sell the same way our parents did.
Mm-hmm.
So how
okay, now I'm having visions of my fabulous conversations with my father, who I lost when I was 14, but they were very intellectual conversations. They were very explaining conversations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you communicate with others very similar to how you communicate with your parents, I mean, and your siblings. So this is just the way humans are. So if that was, let's say that you were born into a family of incredible salespeople, then more than likely you're doing awesome. I mean, because you've got the training in your subconscious mind. Most of us were not, and most of us were in a situation, even with I had a fantastic childhood. Even in that childhood, we didn't talk in sales speak, and we didn't talk in rapport building, you know, speak. I mean, that's just not a natural form of communication for most people.
Right. And if anything, we were mimicking what was on television. We were mimicking the scripts written for a completely different way of communicating.
Right. Exactly. And that's certainly not the best way to go about it. But I think that the rapport building part is not only I do go into a lot of that. And it's funny. I've had a lot of people say this, and I can say this for myself. The most benefit that I see in that, other than sales, is in my own relationships. Because just knowing how to build rapport with someone without alienating them, it's just a very, very important skill to learn. And not just for selling, but just for your life. And that's what I meant earlier when I said disappointingly so. Because people tend to look at a marketing course, because you have to be specific. You have to say, this is a course that will help you learn copywriting and produce a video sales letter. In reality, it's a course that will help you navigate life and communicate with people better, which is, that's awesome. That's
it's not something you really could say on the second slide, or they say, oh, life coach.
Exactly, new career.
Exactly. So, you know, Gina, you spend a huge amount of your time thinking about copy, search engine optimization, and so on. And I'd love you to come on in and join in this dialogue. And I can hear an echo coming through.
I don't know where that came from. It came in before I unmuted.
Tell you what, I'm going to mute on my side for a moment.
Okay, great.
And let the two of you talk.
I don't know that it's coming from you, but we'll see if we can figure that out.
Can you hear me okay, Jim?
I can. I just hear this echo, so I don't know where it came from. Anyway, everything is copy, no matter what it is that you're doing, whether you're speaking on a webinar, whether you're writing a blog post, whether you're sending out an email, it's all copy. Even what you're doing to create your products is copy. Does copy change from one thing to the next, or do the principles that you talk about apply no matter what it is you're doing?
I think, first of all, I think the foundation of the copy will never change. It's the reason why, like, for example, a buddy of mine emailed me the other day and said, I just got the highest open rate from any email I've ever sent, and it was from a headline written in 1942. So, obviously, yeah, pretty cool, huh? I mean, kind of what is old is new again, and that will always be recycled. And so one of the most common questions I get is, because video sales letters were kind of, it's something people hadn't seen, you know, 3.5 years ago. All of a sudden, there's just words on a screen and someone talking to you. That's just a new thing, you know. And now that it's not such a new thing and it's done a lot, so much in revenue, people say, well, eventually it's just going to wear out. Eventually text-based sales pages will wear out in headlines. And subject lines. No, of course not. I mean, that will never die out. Text-based sales pages, I still use them. This is just another tool in the arsenal. And I will argue that it's probably the highest converting tool for most products, like if you have, especially if you have an info product. But you still need a text-based sales page, which is why I talk about how to do it, because some people just simply prefer the modality of reading to the site, the modality of hearing. So, but it just so happens to be, statistically speaking, that for sales, it tends to be reading and hearing goes a lot further.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, I know that Google really understands that every single person has a different learning style. Some people want to read. Some people want to listen. Some people want to watch. Some people want to look at pretty pictures. So you really want to make sure that whatever kind of copy you're putting out there, you're doing it in as many creative formats as possible. The more you can multi-purpose things into multiple creative formats, the better it's going to be in the end in terms of how it connects to people and really gets people to take an action, which is the whole point of having copy in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. And what we like to do is use copy not only to take action, but also to educate. I really love the model of education-based marketing. And the good thing about video sales letters in particular is they're awesome at education, because you can insert graphics. You don't need to, but when you insert graphics like a graph or an illustration, you can talk through the illustration with somebody, like you talk through a graph, where you can't do that on a text-based sales page. You can do it on a webinar, but webinars are, you know, obviously get far less attendance than video sales letters to traffic. So that's what the advantage of it is, that you can really leave the reader or the viewer or the prospect with knowledge that they didn't have when they hit your website originally. And that always feels fantastic. I mean, if people can't buy something right now, at least they walk away more empowered. And when you empower people, they eventually become customers more – well, they have a better chance of becoming customers, shall I say, than if you just leave them, say, with a sales pitch, which is just – I just don't think that works anymore. I think, you know,
well,
for some people –
Well, I love the idea of using copy to educate. However, even if copy is meant to educate, I would argue that it's still – by design, meant to get people to take action.
Oh, yeah.
If all you do is educate someone and they don't ever use the education you've just provided them, does it really serve them?
Not at all. And that's the whole, there's, in my particular formula, there's a whole method of taking someone through, there's actually what I call it, the three-tip formula. And that's applying
to
three different modalities.
One.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. When you teach someone, I want you to teach them in all three, well, three of the four modalities. The what-if modality is already sold. So we just go enjoy, avoid, and how-to. And we teach three tips, and you can teach more if you want, but three minimum. And we give those three tips in each of those. One of those is here's what you need to avoid if you want to achieve this goal. And the second one is here's how you can get the most joy and pleasure out of achieving this goal. And the other one is, okay, here's the step-by-step formula to achieve this goal. And the how-to is always tied into the product. So as you're going through the tips, you're educating. When you get to how-to, you can only go so far. By nature, you can only say, okay, here's exactly how you start losing weight today. First of all, blank. Second of all, blank. Third of all, it's just going to be too long to go into. So the how-to tip says you must do one thing, and I've created a system to show you how to do this one thing very, very well. And so, in other words, the education just drifts right into the pitch.
I love it. Love it.
Thank you.
In copy, especially copy that's going to educate, do you ever talk about the why, not the how-to stuff?
Oh, sure. Yeah. In fact, we call it the gigantic why in the course. So in the why, the way that I do whys is – I find that if I'm working with somebody one-on-one on a topic, I can ask them, like, what's their gigantic why? What's their huge reason for wanting to be in business online? And, you know, it invariably goes from, oh, I want to make more money, to I want freedom. You know, that's their gigantic why. They want to be free. They want to break free from the shackles of corporate America, or for not, or want to take their family and travel the world. And then I'll ask, even why do you want to do that? And then we get further and further into it. So since we can't do that on a video sales letter effectively, what we do is we future paste them and give them the whys that we know work for most people in those scenarios. So, for example, it's like, so can you imagine, I'm walking you through this, so just imagine imagine you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I just absolutely love the way I look. This is amazing. I didn't even recognize myself in the mirror. Because of this, I think I'm just going to go take the day off and just go to the beach or go to the pool and enjoy myself because I've earned it. And you go to the pool, you enjoy yourself, and then you realize, you know, I have the freedom to go off and do X, Y, Z. And I just walk people through a future-paced story of what their life would be like if they achieved this goal. And I think that's – so in other words, you inject their own why into the equation, but then you start talking about, do you see the freedom? Do you see the peace of mind? Do you see the security that you'll have knowing that you're going to be there for your kids and your grandkids? I mean, so this is the really – the big reason why. And I'm using, again, weight loss as an example. You could take any industry, any service. It's just one I know a lot about. So that's how we do the why in my particular formula, is that we instruct people how to future-pace their viewer to – feel as if they already have achieved it. That's one of the huge things I can pass on to anyone right now, is that your goal as a copywriter, and when I say copywriter, don't think of it as a professional copywriter, as someone who needs to write copy for their pages, is to make the user feel as if they've already experienced the product. And
the
easiest way to do this is follow the formula. It's the easiest way to do it because it's already – the language is already built in. The neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, the future pacing, all that stuff is all built into the copy, so you don't have to guess at it. But the idea is to – if you can give someone what I call the Joe Sugarman experience, when Joe Sugarman was doing blue blocker sunglasses, he would – instead of filming people like what they would see when they put on the glasses, he just filmed their reactions. So all you see is him giving them blue blockers and people going, wow, I can't believe how this looks, you know, which is genius. I mean, because Joe's genius. But that's the same experience. Basically, what he's doing is he's giving someone an experience like a fly on the wall experience. Here's what it will be like. Look at this person. Isn't this awesome? Well, I like to take it one step further and put them into the situation by future pacing them and saying, here's what life is going to look like in just a few days, you know, or a few weeks or whatever. And then we future pace them into that. They get to feel it before they experience it.
In my world, in teaching entrepreneurs how to build businesses, there are five core systems that come together to form the system I teach. They are a mindset system, a relationship building system that really has your presence online, your blog, your social media all tied together. A monetization system that involves using information products to generate leads that then sell whatever you want, physical, done-for-you, service, information, anything, as the profit producer. A leveraging system that uses joint ventures and strategic alliances to build all of the assets your business needs. And then a lead generation system that's about traffic, list building, and all that that entails. In teaching all five core systems, while I could teach the how-tos, and most people are really most interested in the how-tos. How do I do blogging? How do I create an info product? How do I do a joint venture? That's what they think they want. But I kept finding as I got into being an education and training company that if all I gave them was the how-to, it became a never-ending battle for me, because in the internet world, things change at the speed of light. And if I'm going to teach them how-tos of blogging, well, shoot, I got to change my product every month because WordPress updates every month. Plugins come out every month. So I started looking at it very differently. And in my high-end program, I teach a little baby bit of the how-tos because it needs to be there by necessity. But what I instead started doing was getting people to understand the whys. Because if I can help them to understand the why, the how-tos almost always take care of themselves. Why build your online presence using a WordPress platform and not HTML, Joomla, Drupal, whatever? why do I want to use Facebook instead of Twitter? Why do I want to use Pinterest instead of LinkedIn? Why is it so important to target a very specific audience? Why is it so important to have more than one thing to sell? All of the why stuff. And as I'm teaching the whys and the whats, the how-to questions completely go away. And in my low end of my funnel, especially my lead-generating products, if I can help people solve the problems they think they need to solve, it then lets me position them to better understand the problem they really needed to solve, the secondary you-don't-know-what-you-don't-know issues. And when I get them ready at that point, then they want to buy everything else I've got to offer. But the problem I have over and over again is when I'm doing that, in the copy, in the things that both drive the traffic and make the sales happen, it's very difficult to get someone to understand that getting the why is more valuable than getting the how-to. How would you address that in my copy?
Well, that's a tough one.
Not to put you on the spot.
It's tough is because, like we were saying earlier, the why versus the how-to. The best way that I have seen to teach this and to get the importance across is this. Is when you were learning to ride a bike, which most people learn to ride a bike at some point in their lives, right? When you were learning to ride a bike, it was all about how to. And when you were learning to walk, it was kind of about why. So we forgot the infantile why, which is like, why does the baby get up and walk? Because he or she wants to go from this room to the side of the room to the other. They want to explore what's going on over here in this other universe, right? What we forget when we teach kids how to ride a bike is why they want to ride a bike to begin with. And so I think at the age where we start teaching kids a lot of things, and of course we grow up and learn the same thing, we become very, very interested in efficiency. Just tell me how to do it really, really, really quick. And that never works in the long term for anything. So one of the best ways to educate, I think, is to explain right off the bat that unless you know why you want to do something, I can give you how to all day long, and it's just going to become mechanistic. It's just going to become something that it's going to become a task rather than a desire. So this is how I like to phrase everything. I want weight loss, financial gain, profitability on the internet, relationships. I want them to be a desire, not a task. And once it's a desire, then and only then can I give you the quote-unquote tasks to do, the 1-2-3 formula, if you will, to get through that and make it as efficient as possible. You need the desire first. So if the desire is simply, for example, I want to have a relationship because I'm lonely, that's not a very good reason in a big picture why to have a relationship. If you can educate someone to say, and I'm just using, again, a different subject now, relationships. If you want to use relationships, saying what if you wanted to, if your gigantic why here was to share your life and experiences with someone so that they can help integrate theirs into yours, or that you can bring value to another person's existence on earth. These huge, big, massive reasons. Then all of a sudden the how-tos become very, very, very minor. But if the why is really small, like I want to look better for my 10-year anniversary or my 10-year high school reunion, that's such a small why that it's not going to last past the reunion, right? So educating them again through, I think the best way to do this is going through, you talk about the problem, then you talk about the really, really big problem. When I call, you make the problem really huge. And you say, now imagine a different life. Imagine something different with me right now. Imagine, and then you fulfill that imagination inside your copy saying, this is what life will look like. You will do this, you will do this, you will do this. And you put these huge reasons why in there, and they're imagining themselves doing that. And then if you want to, you can echo back
that's
to that and
great
say,
idea.
You know, a lot of people – you say like, you, for example, for financial freedom. You know, a lot of people just think, I just want more money. But picture this with me. If I just gave you more money and nowhere to spend it, would it make you happy? And they're going to go, well, of course not. I mean, so you don't really want more money, do you? What do you want? And then you get them you can answer the question for them if it's a video sales letter. You want more freedom. So this course is going to give you more freedom. That's what you truly desire. And the money is not a nice fringe benefit of it. So you appeal to both the I want more money and I want more freedom. And then so rather than giving a how-to lesson on here's how you, you know, make your website more SEO friendly, you get them to go into this like, I want to make your website a freedom portal for you. You know, this is a portal to your own freedom. And here's some tips to make you that. And that's a whole different mindset when you walk into that kind of a structure. Versus here's how you do something.
Oh, I love that, John. That is brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you.
Linda, I know that as you've been in my coaching program and learning this stuff, for you this has been a very different approach. What questions do you have on this topic for John?
Well, you know, I've peppered John with so many questions, and one of the things I do want to make sure of before I ask him any further ones is I want our listeners to know that, you know, John didn't create this as a private proprietary tool for me. He actually has brought the 3X generator, the 3X marketing formula out for other people to learn and use to make a difference in their lives, their businesses through their copy. And the generator, which is, you know, God, I have to tell you, it's the godsend for me, which is, please somebody show me what ways I could word things under this circumstance. And it's all there. It's all laid out. And so if our listeners would like to go see a series of videos that John has showing people using it, showing the results of people climbing in and using the generator, you can go see those videos now at bbdnow.com/3x, the number 3 followed by the letter X. And I can't say enough about this because I'm not kidding. You know, if people want to see my receipts for all of the programs I took, desperately looking for someone to figure out how to teach me how to let this be easy. I've never seen anything like it, and I thank you enormously for that, John. The questions that I have are, I can see a resistance in some people saying, I really don't want to do a video sales letter. You know, that feels weird. It feels corny. And I think one of the things that would be really helpful for them to understand is this, you have to get out of your own way if what you're trying to do is relationship build and connect with others, and that a video sales letter as a tool serves in certain very specific circumstances. And I would love it if you would share, you know, your learning about where it applies and why.
Oh, sure. Why it applies, boy, that's a long topic. There's we've determined there are 7 different psychological triggers that are going on when people are watching a video sales letter versus reading a sales page or even being on a webinar. It's hypnotic, for one thing. And I've studied hypnotism just because I'm interested in it. I'm not a hypnotherapist. I don't practice hypnotism. But it does have some of the elements of what makes hypnotism work. Now, I'm not suggesting that you will buy my product kind of stuff. What I'm saying is that the slides that move by very rapidly tend to put someone into kind of a trance-like state. And in a trance-like state, people are more open to hearing commands. And the commands I'm giving people are all ethical commands. They're just like, I want you to take a look at this area of your life now. Is this where you want to be? I think you deserve something better. You know, so it's not just buy this product. Again, this is educational, ethical-based marketing. However, I use this example if I can before I dive into anything else. If you knew that someone's house was on fire and they did not know it, they were just, you know, in la-la land watching ESPN on TV and they didn't know the upstairs of their house was on fire, would you walk in to into the house and say, you know, I mean, if you want to leave, it's cool, but if you don't, I mean, that's cool too. You know, you can stay. It's all right. And it's probably important, but I'm not really, you know, there's fire upstairs and stuff, but, you know, it may not get to you. You know, you never know. This is probably not persuasive, right? Okay.
Right.
Or if you ask a woman to marry you, you know, I'm not sure, but I think I want to spend my life with you. I'm kind of on the fence about it. But we know this doesn't work, right? But when we come to these big decisions in our life, it's like fire, or it's like spend the rest of your life with me. And it's the same thing with selling anything. you want to put someone into a state of receptiveness. So if they're going to be much more receptive if you walk into the person whose house is on fire and go, look, I absolutely need to talk to you right now. Pay attention. Your house is on fire. And that's what we're doing with less, you know, verve than that, of course. So the psychological fact that there is hypnotic language and the slides going by quickly and things of that nature definitely help. But the other thing that helps, and like I said, there's seven, I'll go into two, is the fact that your voice or a voiceover, you can use a voiceover if you want. I like to use my own voice, is so reflective of the words. So when people are reading, and I want you to think about this, when you read a book, whose voice are you hearing?
I'm using mine.
Yeah, almost everyone uses their own voice when they read a book. Here's the problem with that. Most people, and this is sad to say, but it's true, statistically most people do not trust themselves. There's a high level of distrust among most people, especially when it comes down to making a decision, and that triples statistically when they've made a decision in the past that wasn't the best. So they're hearing themselves talk to themselves, and it's just a sales page, they're hearing themselves read the sales page to themselves and going, oh, I remember the last time I did this. You know, and that's why one of the many reasons why psychologically video sales work better, because they're listening to somebody else. And you've already got that built-in kind of word-of-mouth thing going, even if you don't really realize it on a conscious level. Now, there's lots of other reasons why this works. I could go into the hows, whys, and therefores of what makes it so effective. But I think there was another subset to the question so that I don't want to miss, Linda. So if you don't mind, you could repeat that subset question. But that's some of the psychological reasons why.
Sure. No, and I think what's really important for people who are listening here is – your video sales letter, this device you created, the reason it was adopted by so many info marketers is because it works. And granted, not everyone is trying to create a 45-minute long sales letter, but I'll go back to where I opened the program, which is that I was thinking about attorneys I know who need to connect with people on their sites, and the capacity to create something that's in the style of a video sales letter that is that attorney not standing in front of their bookcase using that as their authority for why you want to maybe pick up the phone and call, but literally because they're teaching you something about the issue that's up for you in your life, and they're doing it with the device of a short video sales letter that's making the connection with them, their personality, their voice, and so on, but with this formula that we know works to get someone to say, I feel connected with this person. I'm believing what they're sharing because it's a reflection of what I've already been thinking for myself, and I want to know more, and I want more from that person. So the video sales letter is a device used in one arena, but the tool itself, the value of really mastering copy, is applicable in so many different ways in so many different arenas.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, remember the second component of that, that if you don't want to create a video sales letter, or you said it was corny, that's pretty funny. I've actually heard a lot of people say that, oh, this isn't going to work in my industry, this isn't going to work in my business. I'd have to find an industry where it doesn't work. There may be one, but I've taken people up on the challenge and proved to me that it wouldn't work, but so far no one's won. And you can use it in different formats. It might be a very short VSL, it might be a long VSL. People have sold $20 products. They've sold $20,000 products with it. It does not matter the scope of it. It still comes down to the words. And even if you want to use pretty video, like if you just want a video script where you're sitting in front of a camera, you still need to know these words. You need to know what words unsell people. In other words, when you say something, people go, oh, I don't want that. You know, very helpful to know those words. And
the dog, the dog really perked up over that.
Sorry, the mailman's coming up the walk, and we are out of time, guys.
I love it. So for everybody who wants to go learn more, really understand how you can apply it for your business, your life, bbdnow.com/3x. And, John, I know we're going to be having you back to talk about this more in the future. I can't thank you enough for the great conversation today.
That's my pleasure, ladies. It's fantastic to be on your show, and it's awesome to have you guys out there doing spreading some great messages. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, John. And if I can ever do anything to help, just let me know. Linda and I will be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions.
from relationship marketing to business success.